Great song, great message in the song, amen? Be still and know that I am God, and what a message in that. Let's take our Bibles this morning, and if you will, turn to the Old Testament, to Psalm, the book of Psalm chapter 19. We're going to read one verse in Psalm 19, verse 7, and then we're going to ask you to follow us over to the book of Acts, one verse in Acts 15, verse 3. And then just two verses in James chapter 5, verse 19 and verse 20. I'll repeat those again as we turn to those scriptures. But here in the month of March, and this is a great time of the year. It's getting ready to go into Palm Sunday, getting ready to go into Easter. It's a great time of the year to be able to get somebody on your mind and heart that you can reach out to, invite them to church. We have Good Friday services on Good Friday. We have Palm Sunday next week, and then also Easter Sunday on March the 27th. So this is a great time of the year to be really sensitive to evangelism and discipleship, and to reach out to those that need to hear the gospel. And so we are taking here in the month of March in discipleship some of the messages and teaching around the idea of evangelism and discipleship. And so I'm going to pick out three verses here four verses really that we want to focus on. When you think about it, I titled the message today, Converting to Christ. Converting to Christ. And I think about that. I don't know about you, but where you were at on the day that you converted to Christ. And I'm going to get into that word in just a moment, what exactly that word means, conversion or converting. And we're going to look at it here in the scripture. But I remember the day for me was just like yesterday. I mean, just like it just happened. And I was 16 and a young high school student. And at age 16, I heard the gospel for the first time. And it became clear to me that I needed to recognize that I was a sinner. I could not save myself. And I called upon the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father to save my soul. And I consciously made a decision to convert to Christianity and to Jesus Christ. I got so excited about that shortly after that, we were in our home there in Mansfield, Ohio, had some family members over, and some of my first cousins were there, and I had a first cousin were there, and she was married, and her husband David was there. And so I remember sitting in a lawn chair out in front of the garage that day, and saying, you know, I just had found Christ. I had just been converted to Christ. I just opened my heart, and I was excited about it. And so David and I was sitting there in those lawn chairs. I told him, I said, Dave, I said, I had an experience that just recently happened to me. And I said, I can't give you all the Bible terms and everything there, but I said, let me tell you just what happened to me and in my life as an individual now as a Christian. And so I kind of laid it out for David sitting right there and sitting there in front of the garage that day. And you know what? I had the privilege to lead him to Christ that day. I may not have had all the, you know, exact scripture and the exact reference in this, but I gave him what was in my heart, what was given to me as the Bible. I knew I wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I knew what I had, I wanted him to have. And I said, let me lay it out for you, brother, and hear it how it is. And then he prayed right there to receive Christ into his heart. That was just a short time after I came to a saving knowledge of Christ myself. I just had a desire to get that to somebody else. I think, you know, our responsibility is just to get the gospel out, just to preach the gospel. I preached a message here recently on the mission statement of the church and our church covenant. Our main responsibility is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to carry it both here at home and around the world. I think about that, and David this day has accepted Christ into his heart, and praise the Lord for that. I think of another time when I was youth pastor here at the old church at Calvary over in Wayne, and I just, you know, continued to just try to focus on getting the gospel out. And I remember one day giving the gospel to a young man, a high school student, and sharing the gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And I didn't know if he would get saved or not, and lo and behold, he opened up his heart and trusted Christ as his Savior. That man's name is Dale Brown. Dale today is a missionary in New Zealand, sent as a missionary out of our church. You never know. We have a responsibility just to give the gospel, whether it's a family member sitting on a lawn chair in front of the garage just newly after you get saved, or you take and give the gospel to another somebody else that you want to just share with them your heart. And ask them and invite them if they'd be willing to convert to Christ, to give their life to Christ, to convert to Jesus Christ. I had no idea on that day that Dale, when he prayed to receive Christ, would end up being a missionary in New Zealand. No idea at all. I remember one day I was sitting in my office in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and it was one of those days I'd just eaten lunch, and I thought, I just don't want to be in the office this afternoon. So I just got in my car, I drove out to one of the neighborhoods right there, just parked my car, I just started walking, going up and down the streets, just knocking on door here, door there, just kept knocking on. Finally, I knocked on a door, and a guy came to the door, and I did not know who he was. He was dressed in a United States Army uniform. Come to find out, he was the Army recruiter for Sioux Falls, South Dakota. He was a captain in the United States Army. So I asked him, I sat there, and he introduced myself. His name is Barry Garisher. I said, Barry, I said, let me ask you this. I said, obviously you're in the military. And he said, well, I just came home for lunch, just for a little bit of time. He said, I only have a window of time to eat lunch. I said, you got a minute? You can just visit for a minute? He said, sure, I do. I said, so Barry, let me ask you this. If you had not made it back, he just told me he had been over in Vietnam, several tours in Vietnam. If you had not made it back from Vietnam and God had taken your life, how do you know for sure that you were prepared for heaven? And Barry looked at me and started crying. You ever had a U.S. Army captain stand there looking you square in the face in the middle of 2 o'clock in the afternoon? He said, come on in here. So I come in the house, and just Barry and I are in there, and I sit down. I begin to share with Barry the gospel, starting in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, Romans 3:23, and just began to lay out the gospel. And he sat there in tears, holding tears back, and kept showing. And I said, you know, Barry, I said, right now in your lunch hour would be a good time for you and I to kneel right here at this couch and for you to ask Jesus Christ into your heart. I said, there was a reason why you survived Vietnam. On several missions in Vietnam, he was a helicopter pilot in Vietnam and told me of a couple stories where he had gotten taken on heavy enemy fire. And one of his buddies that was flying in a chopper with him took heavy military fire and got riddled with bullets. The whole cockpit was full, just splattered with blood. That guy died. Barry sat there, and one of the reasons why he was crying and telling me this is he said, I should not be here. I should have died over there. He said, bullets, when we got back, he said, the chopper was so riddled with bullets and smoke coming out everywhere and blood everywhere. He said, I made it back and somehow got that thing on the ground and just froze and just white-knuckled. He said, and I looked at that and I said, God, there's no way I should have lived through this. I said, well, the only thing I can tell you, Barry, is God has a plan for you, and today is your lucky day because today you can ask Jesus Christ into your heart and accept him as Savior. And so we did. We sat there that day, kneeled at that couch, Barry opened his heart, trusted Christ, and I had the privilege to baptize he and his wife and his two children and saw them to come to the Lord. So converting to Jesus Christ is an important thing. I don't know where you were at on the day you converted to Christ, or if you're here today and you've never yet converted to Christ, today would be a great opportunity for you to do that. Think about these words right here in Psalm 19 on converting to Christ. The Bible says in Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Talking again here, converting the soul. When you and I get saved, our soul is converted to Jesus Christ, and we come to a saving knowledge of the Lord. Turn over to Acts chapter 15, and found in verse 3. You take that word here in Psalm 19, it talks about converting the soul. And that simply is, when you look at the definition of conversion, it means turning. It means turning from our sin and turning towards God. It implies that a turning from or a turning to something is associated always with repentance and faith. It's turning from our sin. It's turning to faith in Christ. Conversion is an act of man and yet done by the power of God. It is the process of salvation. It is the first step in the transitioning from sin to a relationship with our Creator God that Ron just led us through in worship and the music. So when you think about here, Acts 15, and notice in verse 3, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. So again, here we see this word conversion. We see the word converting over in Psalm 19. We see the word conversion here in Acts 15. But turn over now to James 5, And James 5, verse 19, I want to show you this word convert. You and I today, if you've professed faith in Jesus Christ, you've come to a saving knowledge of the Lord, you've asked forgiveness of your sin, you've repented of your sin to Christ, you have converted to Christ. You have willingly made a decision that I'm going to turn from my sin, I've asked forgiveness of my sin, and I'm now going to turn to the power of God to do something that I cannot do on my own. James gives us these two verses here in James 5, verse 19, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Simply, I share with you today that this thing on converting to Christ is the greatest thing that you and I can ever be involved in. I don't know where you're at. The greatest thing would be your own personal conversion to Christ is the greatest decision you'll ever make. The second greatest decision I think you'll ever make is to do all within your ability and power to reach out to family and friends and neighbors and work associates and anybody that you can run into with the same idea that you're going to take what you've learned, what you've accepted in your heart, and do your best to convert a lost sinner to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God is in the business of converting lost souls. And we know that God loves to convert people to Jesus Christ. I've seen everything, I think, from A to Z in conversion experiences to Christ. I've seen people come and just like in total shock when they get, it's kind of like a wake-up call when they come to Christ. I've seen other people come and literally weep and cry. It's an emotional experience that just overwhelms them when they convert their life to Jesus Christ. Make a conscious decision. I'm going to turn from my sin. I'm going to convert to Christ by the power of God. Yes, it's man's choice, but it's by the power of God that allows you and I to be converted. So God loves to convert people. God loves to rescue those who do cry out to Him in humility. You know, when you study, I was looking at the book of Acts here this week and studying some things. I began to look at some of the conversion experiences that happen in the book of Acts. They're absolutely amazing. When you look at it in Scripture, I don't know about you, but I oftentimes can walk in this sanctuary in the week when nobody's in here and can think about, you know, so-and-so got saved right here, so-and-so got saved right here, or so-and-so got saved right here and converted to Christ. I began to look at the book of Acts, and it's full of conversion experiences. When you think about on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that 3,000 souls, after the Holy Spirit came down, was converted to Christ, empowered them, and sent them out from the local New Testament church as witnesses. You go over and you read in the book of Acts, many Samaritans who were hated by the Jews were converted to Jesus Christ and gave their life to Christ. I love the story, and you go and you look at the conversion experience in the book of Acts on the Ethiopian eunuch when he came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, recognized his sin, and turned to Christ. One of the greatest ones that you and I know in the Bible, it talks about in the book of Acts, is Saul. Saul was a persecutor of Christians, hated the church, hated people that were converted to Christ, hated people that had turned to Christianity, and went about his duty was to go and to slay Christians and to kill Christian believers that had converted to Christ. And guess what? One day God struck him down and stopped him on the Damascus Road and said, Paul, and reached down, and Paul became converted to Jesus Christ, gave his life to God, his conversion experience. You can read about it in the book of Acts. Another one was a Roman official by the name of Sergius Paulus was converted to Jesus Christ. The conversion of the Gentiles in the book of Acts. I love it when I'm over there reading and studying the book of Acts. I came across one, the first convert to Europe when they carried the gospel out of Jerusalem, Judea, and that area and took it around the world. The first convert converted to Christ in Europe was a lady by the name of Lydia, came to the saving knowledge of Christ. Then you find that Paul, one time, got thrown into jail, and the Philippian jailer, as he's there, Paul spent his time wisely sharing the gospel, whether he was out of jail or in jail, shared the gospel with the Philippian jailer, and the jailer came to Christ and was converted to Christ. Dionysius and Damarius converted to Christ. Crispus was converted to Christ. Apollos in the book of Acts was converted to Christ. The disciples of John was converted to Christ. So when you think about this thing on evangelism, it's really the priority. It's the heartbeat of the church. It's the heartbeat of Christianity. And that you and I, we are in the business of the Lord's work and doing what God's called us to do. And one of those things that we need to be really focused on, laser focused on, is who can you and I go to and share the gospel and help them convert to Jesus Christ. Convert from a life of sin. Convert from realizing that there's no way to heaven unless they convert through the power of God and through the Lord Jesus Christ. So converting to Christ. And when you think about the word evangelism, it brings a lot of thought. I don't know about you, but it brings a lot of thoughts to my mind. Evangelism, just the word. Now, if you really look at it, it's interesting because in the Bible, the word evangelism, it's not even in the Bible. But the meaning of what it stands for is converting people to Jesus Christ, and the message was always to get the gospel out so others could be converted to Christ and come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. But when you look at evangelism, just that word kind of conjures up images in our mind. Evangelism, well, what does that mean? To some, it might mean, you know, tent meetings. Some of you have been in Christianity a long time. Maybe remember tent meetings years ago. Maybe remember revival meetings over the years. I remember in the old church at Calvary, we used to have Dr. Hyman Appleman used to come in and preach revival meetings at the old church here years ago. Dr. B.R. Lakin, I remember Dr. B.R. Lakin, an old country preacher that grew up in West Virginia, and God used him to circle the globe and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you might think about tent revivals or revival meetings or whatever. And you mentioned the word evangelism, and we might think about, well, that's the night we show up on a Monday or Tuesday or Thursday or whatever, Saturday, and we go knock on somebody's door and try to invite them to hear the gospel and try to get a hearing where they'll listen to you and share the gospel of Christ. So maybe it's visitation. Others, you might be the situation of just witnessing and sharing the gospel. And some might have a hard time getting off the dime and doing that. I think one of the things, the sooner you do it, the better and the easier it is. You know how I learned how to be a lifeguard. I was a lifeguard in Boy Scouts. And I learned how to be a lifeguard. But you know how I learned how to swim? Here's how I learned to swim. I was at Pleasant Hill Lake one day, and my Uncle Eb McIntyre, being my mother's sister's husband, we're on a dock there, and my Uncle Eb had a boat, my dad had a boat. My dad never could swim, and he water skied. Now figure that out. Can't swim a lick, but he water skied all the time. So we're at the end of this dock, and my Uncle Eb says to me, he said, "Hey, Rick, can you swim yet?" I said, "No, not yet." I said, "I'm getting close, but I'm not there yet." He took his foot, put it right behind me, and pushed me off this dock. And 20 feet of water. I'm gasping for water, and I'm sucking air and water and everything. I'm coming up, I'm flapping, and then he jumps in with me. He says, "Today's your lucky day. You're going to learn how to swim." And that's how I learned how to swim. Went from that to being a lifeguard. And so my point simply is this, is when you and I convert to Jesus Christ and ask God to forgive us of our sin, and we turn to Him and we turn from our old way of life and turn to Christ, we need to jump off the dock and jump in the pond and find somebody that you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with. Give them a track. Talk to them about the Lord. Do everything you can to help convert that person to Jesus Christ. Some people just need to push off the dock and to get going. I would say this, my friend, don't go to heaven not ever having a chance to lead a soul to Christ. Make sure you take the effort, the time, the work to do it, and look for that opportunity. So what I want to do this morning is share with you as we look at some biblical concepts of evangelism and the role really that the believer plays in that. And if we think about it, Mark chapter 16, real simple text here, and you're familiar with this. Turn over there in your Bible, if you will. Mark 16 and verse 15 is simply the command in the Bible to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the command. That's what we call the Great Commission, Matthew 16 and Matthew 28. And so the call to evangelism is to all of you and I that have converted to Jesus Christ, have accepted Him as our Savior. You and I have a call to evangelism, a call to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, you can't be here at home and go to Brazil at the same time, so we send missionaries, we support missionaries to help us to go. But notice the three commands that are in this text. Number one, and it's the same commands we find over in Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, the same great commission that you and I are instructed to go to make disciples. We're simply to go and to do three simple things in the great commission of the local New Testament church. Number one, go. You got to go. You got to make a conscious decision that you are going to do all you can do in your life to help convert another lost being to Jesus Christ. You got to go. If you don't ever go, you're never going to get it done. If somebody doesn't push you off the dock and get gone, you're never going to do it. You just got to go. You got to step out of your comfort zone. And believe me, that is out of your comfort zone. And to be able to share the gospel and to help convert somebody to Christ. Second thing is the Bible says you got to teach. Well, what do you teach? The Bible. You got the best book in the world right here, the Bible, the Word of God. Just learn the Bible and teach them right out of the chute, the Romans road, and teach them and show them what it means to come to a saving knowledge of Christ. And then the third command there in the Great Commission is to baptize. So you and I are simply to go, we're to teach the Word of God, share with them the Word of God, and to lead them to believers' baptism in Christ. Baptism will not save you, but it is an obedience to the command of Christ, and every believer should have been baptized by immersion in Jesus Christ. So we have that command. So Jesus gave you and I, look over to Luke's Gospel there if you're in the Gospels, Luke's Gospel chapter 24. And in Luke 24, we find these words in verse 46 and verse 47 that we want to focus on. Verse 46, which simply said, "And Jesus saith unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So you find here the responsibility. Jesus gave this message here to you and I to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the world. That was the message in the first century. It's the same message today. The population of the world is much larger today. And notice this text says it behooved Christ to suffer. We're getting ready. Next week will be Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is the time of the year we think about Jesus and his entrance into Calvary, into Golgotha, as he willingly made his entrance into Jerusalem, knowing that he was a living sacrifice, ready to shed his blood, ready to die for you and I. It was his choice. Palm Sunday is always a reminder of what comes before that resurrection Sunday. And so the Bible is pretty clear here that it behooved Christ to suffer, and suffer he did. In a horrible way, a horrible death as he suffered. But then the Bible says here to rise again on the third day. And I love Easter Sunday. Brother Ron's right. On March the 27th, we celebrate Easter. There's just something special about that day in the Lord's house on Resurrection Sunday. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And so we find here Luke says it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise again on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all the nations, beginning right here at Jerusalem and then throughout the whole world. Our Jerusalem today is Canton, Michigan. We got to take the gospel to every human being that we can right here at home, and then reach out from there and get missionaries involved and support them to get that gospel out and converting others to Christ. He says, then you are witnesses of these things. The apostles were witnesses of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Acts 22:15 says, "For thou shalt be as witnesses unto all men of what thou hast seen and what thou hast heard." So really the story of converting to Christ and sharing the gospel is just taking the good news, taking the best story ever told, and sharing that gospel. The good news is simply the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul said this over in Romans chapter 1, and we are not to be ashamed of the gospel. Don't hide it. Don't back away from it. Don't be ashamed of it. It does not make any difference what your friends, family, or whatever thinks of it. Do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now, there's some essentials. Turn over to John 1:1. There are certain essentials in evangelism that you and I need to take note of in the Scripture. And one of these is John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." There never has been a time Jesus Christ did not exist, and we find that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You and I have the greatest story ever to tell, and I'm reminded of what John said over in John chapter 14 and verse 6, a passage of Scripture that we often use even at times of funerals. That just simply said, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." There's only one way to heaven, and that is through the door of Jesus Christ. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So there's only one way to heaven. There's not many ways to heaven. There's not many religions that gives you many different opportunities to get to heaven. There's one way to heaven, one doorway. And that decision is simply to convert a lost sinner to Christ. It's got to be through the doorway of Jesus Christ for repentance and remission of our sin. Acts 4:12, neither is salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So in the essentials of evangelism, most people do not understand these truths. And the simple truths are, very quickly, that we need to get out to a lost and dying world. As friend, I don't know what you're believing in, I don't know what you're trusting in, but mankind cannot save themselves. Man cannot save himself. Secondly, is that God is holy and righteous, and God hates sin on all levels. And thirdly, to realize that Jesus Christ is God. Not everybody in the world we live in today believes that. They believe there's one God, but they don't believe that Jesus Christ is that God. But the Bible is very clear on it. Jesus Christ is God. And so we've got to realize that man cannot save himself. You and I cannot save ourselves. That God is holy and righteous, and that God hates sin. But God is holy and Jesus Christ is God, and therefore, number four, is that Christ's death on the cross was simply all the agony, all the suffering. We think about Palm Sunday next Sunday. All of going to Calvary and Golgotha was for you and I, for our sin, that we could have the promise of eternal life. All His suffering was so that you and I could convert to Christ and come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And that Christ offers heaven as a free gift. Somebody says, well, is salvation really free? Was free to you and I, but friend, it's not free. There was a huge price paid on Calvary, on Golgotha, for our sin that we'd have the privilege to be able to convert to Jesus Christ. So simply today, I say to you this, is then in evangelism, what should be our strategy? How do you go about this? How do you, I remember when I won my first soul to Christ, and it happened to be a family member. I'd never been in a discipleship class at church. I had never sat and gone through this class or that class. I didn't have a deacon or a pastor or a youth pastor tell me, hey, this is how you do this. The only thing that I really, really knew is I was so excited about being saved and being hungry for the Word of God, I thought, David, I don't know what else to tell you, brother, but what I got is something I've never experienced before in converting to Christ, and I want you to have it, and simply, this is how you get it. You got to recognize that you're a sinner. You got to realize that there's a sin debt on your life. You know, and nobody is ever going to get saved if you don't recognize you're a sinner and you cannot save yourself. And then you point him towards Jesus Christ, who suffered on the cross and gave his life that you and I could have eternal life. So what should be our strategy in evangelism? Well, as I think about it, number one, I put this down and for my own heart and benefit, and that is that simply the number one thing, I think, is that we need to witness by our own life. We witness by our own life and what we do and how we live and what we are, who we are. So the first step in evangelism is always look at yourself. We witness by who we are and what we say and what we do and how we live. So Philippians, Paul said this in Philippians 2:14, tell us of what kind of life to live and how we should appear to the world. And Paul went on to say, then do all things without murmuring. And then do all things without disputings. And be blameless in your life. And be harmless in your life. And be without rebuke in your life. And so the world is a crooked and perverse generation. And we are to shine as lights in the world. It's going to be pretty hard to let our light so shine before men and to carry out the gospel as the light of the earth and salt of the earth if there's things in our heart and in our life that hinders our witness and our testimony and that takes the light off of getting that gospel to that person that needs to convert to Jesus Christ. So number one, I think, is by the witness of our own life. I've always said my greatest enemy, the one I got to work on the most, the hardest person to conquer is me. I got to work on myself just like you got to work on yourself. I can't straighten you out. You can't straighten out the person beside you. So when you look at it internally, the witness by our own life. I was in a home visiting this week and sharing with a family and trying to get them to be faithful in the Lord's house and to come back to the Lord's house. And one of the things that talks about that, if you go to church and you get stumbled up or have a problem with another believer, somebody in church or something, I said, there's always going to be ways to get people to get, Satan loves to get people tripped up and stumbled up. The only thing I know is you got to do the best you can to live your life in a godly way, and to make sure that that any sin, known sin in our heart, is confessed, and then be in God's house and under and worshiping with other believers, and as the assembly gathers together. And so this world is for sure a crooked and perverse nation and of believers. And if you think about it, we are really just saved, Bible-believing Christians gathered together here. Our soul, Psalms tells us that our soul is converted to Christ. Guess what's not yet converted to Christ? Because when you get saved, your soul is converted to Christ, Psalm 19 and verse 7. And you get a new spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes in and changes you, makes you a new creation in Christ. But guess what's not yet saved? The body, the flesh, that you and I live in day in and day out. That still is a struggle. Now one day that will be redeemed also at the second coming of the Lord, either at the rapture or when he takes us home to be with him, and the body will be redeemed. It's not yet redeemed. Why is that so? Because you and I still, as individuals, even though you're saved, still have the ability to sin and to do things wrong. So the body is not yet saved. Psalm 19, verse 7 makes that really clear. So when you look at it here in the Scripture, our strategy for evangelism simply is by the witness of our own life. Others will see the Redeemer through that redeemed life. So let me ask you today this. What do others see in you day by day by day as you live out your life? Do they see Christ in and through your life? Do they see a redeemed soul in and through your life? Do they see Jesus Christ in and through your life? In order to convert others to Jesus Christ, we got to allow the Redeemer to be seen in and through our lives. The Bible says in Matthew 5, Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, "Let our light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So what do people notice that makes your light shine? How should we speak to others? Colossians 4, 6, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." So I would say, number one, our strategy on evangelism simply is, number one, is this: we witness by our own life. Number two, our strategy on evangelism simply should be prayer. Simply prayer. God changes things through prayer. Paul prayed for Israel in Romans 10:1 that Israel might be saved, and asked God. Acts 4:29. You say, "Well, preacher, I can't do that. I just can't. You know, that's fine. No. I was witnessing and sharing the gospel with others immediately after I got saved. I just had something good I knew, and I wanted somebody else to have it. I had not gone through a soul-winning class. I never went through a witnessing class. And then all of a sudden, one day, 3 years later, I find myself in a seminary down in Texas, and down there, they're saying, you young seminary students, you need to be out winning people to Christ all the time, and not just stay here in the dormitories, in the college, in the seminary, in the classrooms, and work in your jobs. If you don't do it here, you will not do it out there in the ministry." I'll never forget that. So what my wife and I decided to do, we got engaged in a local church just like that while we were full-time college students in seminary and going. So I have knocked on every door in Grand Prairie, Texas, I know probably at least 3 times. I've had them slammed in my face, cussed out, but also I had the privilege to lead others to Christ and get them into church. And I'm simply saying to you this, is just get excited about your Christianity, being converted to Christ, and begin to look for opportunities to share the gospel to help somebody else convert to Christ. Prayer. God will open the doors of prayer. If you just pray, God will show you and put those out. And then be looking, look for the opportunities. And that gives me the third thought, and that simply is, the third and final one is, use God's word. Whatever you do, use God's word in your witness. The Bible's pretty clear on that. Romans or Hebrews 4:12, "The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." You and I do not have the ability within ourselves to talk somebody into it by salesmanship or by our own talents and abilities. Use the word of the living God to lead somebody else in converting to Jesus Christ. Paul always used the word of God in evangelism. Acts 17, verse 2 and 3, the Bible says that Paul, as his manner was, went into them and 3 days, Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Preach Christ. 2 Timothy 3:15, "The Holy Scriptures can make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." So we must be ready to speak for the Lord Jesus Christ in any given situation, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We must know the essentials of the gospel, and we must have confidence in God and His Word that He knows what He's doing, and then pray and look for the opportunities. And you will be surprised that God, as He opens the windows or the doors of opportunity for you and I to share the gospel. Take you, when you go home today, get a 3x5 card. Just call it your evangelism prayer card and put some names on it and begin to pray for that person that you write down on there to be saved. And then prepare yourself for the opportunities to come to Him. Converting to Christ. Friend, if you're here today, it's real simple. If you're here and you're not yet converted to Christ, the greatest decision in your life that you'll ever do is convert your life to Jesus Christ. You say, what does that mean again? It's just simply recognizing our sin. And you cannot save yourself. And you simply say, God, I am a sinner. I recognize that. I cannot save myself. And I fall upon you and ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart. Forgive me my sin and give me eternal life. Converting to Christ. And then, my friend, if you will, take seriously the next thought of who can you reach out to that needs to be converted to Christ. That is our mission field. That is our goal. That's what we're called to do. That's the great commission of our Savior. And evangelism is converting others to Jesus Christ. Oh, to God that we would take that seriously in our heart. Not to impress anybody else. Just take it seriously in the heart. You know why? Because one of these days, my friend, you and I are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and have to answer to our God and our Savior. What'd you do with all your time? What'd you do with all your works? And all of our works will be laid out in front of Him to be judged at that time. Let's pray. Father God, today we love you. And God, we thank you for